Hello and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. We begin an interesting series on pig behavior today with a discussion on normal versus abnormal behaviors and how to spot them. Our expert panel includes animal behaviorist Dr. Simon Turner.
I'm Simon Turner. I'm a senior researcher in animal behavior at Scotland's Rural College, just outside Edinburgh.
With PIC specialist Dr. Isaac Huerta.
I'm Isaac Huerta. I'm the technical services manager for Western and Southern Europe and Africa. And we live in Europe, so we are in the European side of the world.
Dr. Justin Hall.
Yes, my name is Justin Hall. I'm a geneticist within PIC, based in Tennessee. Work in the product development team and in trying to make a better pig.
And Nat Stas.
I'm Nat Stas. I'm a technical service manager within PIC and predominantly on the wean to finish side, and cover quite a bit of North America and kind of work globally, but located in Pennsylvania.
Pig behavior. So what's pig behavior?
I guess I can pick that up to begin with, Ned. I'm an animal behaviorist by training, so I always go back to what is the wild behavior of a species, because we can learn so much from understanding what the wild behavior of pigs is. And you know, behaviorally, pigs are a fascinating subject for somebody like me because they are so complex in their behavior. So I look at their social structure, for example, you know, the way in which they exist in groups in the wild. You know, so we tend to find males being solitary and females living in fairly tightly knit social groups, usually with a few related sows and their most recent litters. The males go off and do their own thing. And a major part of what they do in the wild is exploration. So we see a huge element of exploration in the pig's behavioral repertoire. So I think anything we look at in commercial production is kind of rooted in what it is they do as a wild species. And we can talk maybe later on just about how much they've changed from that wild behavioral repertoire, because essentially they are essentially wild animals still at heart in a behavioral sense. To understand their behavior nowadays, it's still extremely relevant to look at what they do in the wild and what their ancestral state is. Very much so for pigs, as it is for other species, but particularly for pigs.
As we've moved to these more open housing environments of the last couple of decades, does that fit more in with their natural behaviors then?
Yeah, for sure. For example, people have studied having family farrowing systems or group farrowing systems where there are several sows who can access a pool together, but they farrow by themselves. You know, they can make use of an area to farrow by themselves. That actually very closely mimics their wild behavior. So yes, anything that's giving them the opportunity to express their wild behavior, their full and complex behavioral repertoire, is probably more closely representing what they would do in the wild.
So, gentlemen, what's the challenge of translating what Simon has said about what the natural behavior is into something that works within our production systems that we're dealing with today? Is it environment, meaning the building itself, or is it the employees, the barn staff? Where what do you find the most challenging of transferring that information?
Hey, Ned, this is Isaac. I would take that one at least to make, again, another comment related to what you are asking. I think that the first part of this, the first challenge I would think, it's the time that you need to understand the pigs, no? The many hours that you need to learn about the animals. So it's difficult sometimes to have people that it's been able to see that, and it's not automatic nowadays. So if understanding about the natural behavior, as Simon was saying, in pen farms or in outdoors, I mean, it's you need to be there, and we are not 24/7 in the farm. So that's the first thing before we start with the conversation. I would say, like, hey, the important part is we need to gather these observations and learn about this to understand first. So the first challenge before we go deeper on that, I would say that it's the time, effort that you need, and non-automatic systems to gather that in a wider site, I would say.
And I'd also add to that is that, you know, this becomes a very complicated question that we get is that, okay, you get a question, you get, in particular, you may get some comments about pig behavior, and it's a very vague comment. It's not very descriptive. Sometimes we don't know if we're talking about, you know, maybe it's a reaction to a stimuli. Is that to the pig to human interaction? You know, when people go in those pens, you know, you can kind of walk through farms and you can see that, okay, when you're walking through pens, they've been conditioned to people and, you know, they're acting very naturally. You get into pens and they start being inquisitive. Is that their natural behavior? You know, some of those questions kind of come up, or are they just running around? So there's that pig to human interaction. There's a pig to pig interaction, you know, and typically, you know, how's that working? There's also kind of the environmental responses, this responses that they have to either their environment, and is that a reaction or is it a natural tendency? So sometimes defining what behavior is a challenge, and really understanding that. And also, how do you measure that? It's a complex situation, you know, trying to figure out how do you measure. How do you try to quantify and get a better picture? So back to Isaac's comment, sometimes when people are there in those farms, they're seeing it. How do you communicate what is behavior, what's natural, and how maybe you're seeing changes over time? Sometimes we can get in a situation where we're asking, you know, people to help quantify it so that we can get a better understanding. And that's difficult to do.
I'm going to echo Isaac's comment there. I mean, you kind of asked what's changed or what, you know, what's difficult to implement or execute, and pigs are changing. You know, hopefully we're keeping up with management strategies and things like that. But when I really boil it down, I don't know if we do enough just observation. You know, when I'm training on various things that the Wean the Finish team covers, it's, man, if we just stand in that room for 30 minutes or 45 minutes and just watch, we can learn a heck of a lot of how those pigs are moving, interacting with their environment, interacting with their peers, et cetera. And we're so busy and wrapped up in what the day brings and what needs done that we don't just stand around and look what's happening and where there may be issues that arise, et cetera. And with different technologies coming about, I think we can get better at that. But yeah, if we just look at the pig and watch it for a while, we can learn a ton from that.
I like what Justin said as far as how do we measure that. And it's almost, well, I think back to something Isaac said before we began recording today. He has someone shadowing him as he works with another organization to introduce that person. And how do you help someone understand? Well, this is typical behavior because it's never been a part of the conversation. It's implied, but it's never been specifically mentioned. How do you translate? How do you share that, Simon?
I think, to be honest, one of the big problems I see is not having a common language. And it goes back to what Justin was saying there about, you know, what is it you're actually seeing? And even just describing what it is you're seeing and understanding the motivations. So I think we need two skills. One is to understand what the motivations are that's underlying the behavior itself, which goes back to understanding what these pigs do in the wild. And then secondly, it's observing and describing that as accurately as we can, because, you know, to take the example that Justin used, you know, pigs can be biting people for one of two reasons. They can be biting them because they're being aggressive, or they can be biting them because they're being exploratory. Now, the behavior itself is exactly the same, you know, taking somebody's leg in their mouth and making it hurt. It's exactly the same behavior, but motivationally, they're completely different. And as a behaviorist, I would regard aggression as a deliberately harmful, agonistic behavior. Exploration is actually something ordinarily we'd kind of think is a positive thing. You know, I've spoken to farmers many times in the past when they said, you know, their pigs are being aggressive. And when I've quizzed them more, it turns out it's more like exploratory behavior. And sometimes, sure, it is true aggression. But so I think we need to understand what the motivations are and then describe it as well as we can, just to get a common language before we go any further, because without that, we're going to go in circles.
And the funny thing, Simon, on what you are saying right now, no, the line is so thin between, because when Ned was asking, how do you translate that when you go to a farm or with a customer or with a colleague? And it's sometimes it's really hard because we know what we don't like it or what it's abnormal. We know what it might be normal, but we don't know the indicators that might be telling you before the abnormal comes up. So it's really, I like your point because it's really thin, that part between biting because I'm curious, I have curiosity, I want to explore, or biting because it's an aggression. So it's really different. And explaining that part, I would say that it's one of the key things that of our job.
Yeah, and there may well be multiple motivations all roped in, they're all ruled in together. And even if the pigs could speak, they probably may not be able to tell you very accurately which of those motivations is prevailing at the time.
My children don't.
Yeah.
So we've said that there is a optimal sets of behavior that shows us that, yes, they're working together well, they're combining as they should. Talk about abnormal behavior. There are some behaviors that we know we shouldn't be seeing. You've referred to those, Simon, aggression being one.
If I can just follow the line of reasoning I was giving you there, I deliberately didn't mention tail biting, but you know that's a great example of how we confuse and concatenate tail biting with aggression. Because again, the behavior looks exactly the same. It's taking part of another pig in the mouth and chewing it or biting it. Motivationally, they are completely different behaviors. So in terms of a common language, I prefer to separate them. Aggression is not tail biting. Tail biting is not aggression. These are separate things. But both, of course, damaging. Then we've got things like belly nosing, which has a slightly different cause, ear biting, which is more akin to tail biting. So things like tail biting and ear biting are more like redirected foraging behavior, whereas aggression is more about establishing a dominance hierarchy. So the motivations are really very different.
What are some of the symptoms that you gentlemen have seen on site?
I would say that Simon was telling the majority of the main ones, right? We try to differentiate fights that are due to aggression of animals between each other. We try to differentiate the tails, the ear, the flank biting, the nose pushing. I don't know how you say that properly in English, but the nose, that it's when it's hitting the animals with the nose. So it's different of those that I think that most of them are already mentioned. But I always try to focus all these things, all things that you see that are not the normal that you would expect, but the consequence of something that happened in that area. When Nat was saying, like, we go there and we don't look the animals. Why we don't look the animals? It's because we try to find the solution of something that is not an easy solution. It's a different things that you see that makes them behave differently. So any stressor, any discomfort of the animals that will make them start this behavior that we don't like, the nose with the belly or the tail biting or the aggression or the fights between each other, jerky things. So fighting for different resources, anything that can lead them to that particular behavior that we don't like to see.
Yeah, and one more thing I'll kind of add to that would be, you know, some reports or some things about like gang aggression where multiple in a pen will team up on whether it's the weakest link or, you know, an individual pig. And so that's above and beyond the biting, the tails, the flanks, the ears, et cetera, that all previously been mentioned. That's another act that would be out of the ordinary, out of the normal that, or at least that we want to control and not see frequently, I guess. Not that that wouldn't happen in nature in some certain cases, but something that we want to limit or minimize.
Yeah, I think all of those behaviors we've just mentioned are ones that we don't see in the wild. There's, to my knowledge, there's no reports of tail biting, of belly nosing, of ear biting and things in wild pigs. And this more recent emergence of gang aggression that Nat has just described as something that, again, you get in some species in the wild, like chimpanzees, but it's not something we've come across in pigs before. And it's quite worrying.
Our thanks to special guest Dr. Simon Turner and PIC's Nat Stass, with Drs. Justin Hall and Isaac Herta. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a longtime listener, take a second to subscribe to The Squeal. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes. Just search for The Squeal wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're already a subscriber, visit your phone settings and turn notifications on so you'll never miss an episode. or PIC, international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain. I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.